Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Good morning, City View Church. How you guys doing?
Well, that was lame. I'm sorry. Man, you know. I'm going to the Cardinals game today. And I know that I'm going to be yelling so loud. My son's probably going to hate me. I'm taking Joel right here. He's already in his stuff. He's like, Dad, can we leave now? I'm like, no, I got to teach one more time. He's like, why? And I'm like, because, Joel, that's just what I do. But he and I are going. But I know it's going to be loud there. So good morning. How are you guys doing? Good. Whatever. So today we're starting a new series. And the series is titled All In. That's the idea of the series. And the goal of the series of where we're going over the next 4 weeks is we're going to look at our lives. We're going to ask ourselves, am I all in my life? Am I all in? Or am I playing it safe and playing it easy every day? Am I just comfortable? Am I okay with folding, okay with checking, okay with just playing it safe with what I'm doing? Or am I willing and am I ready and am I currently going all in with how I'm living my life for God, how I'm living my life, period, with what I'm doing? And that's the idea. But here's the thing. Can you go all in when life doesn't make sense? See, life doesn't always go as you planned. We need to learn to live with the hand that we've been dealt. And maybe you feel like the cards have been stacked against you in life. You ever feel that way? Either way, sometimes you just have to roll with the punches. You see, life doesn't always go as we planned. Over a year ago, a buddy of mine, he's another pastor in Riverside, California. He's probably one of my best friends, Jonathan. And he called me and goes, okay, Jeremiah, I've got this message. I don't know where I want to go with it. And I go, hey, dude, that sounds like this. And I start telling him, outline a whole series, an all-in series. I'm like, hey, you should do this. Give everybody a poker chip that says all-in on it. And then have this. You could teach these things throughout the series, blah, blah, blah. I laid it all. He goes, I don't have enough time because I want to teach it right now this weekend. So I'll just give everybody a poker chip. I'm like, well, I'm going to steal the idea I gave you for me. And so I had this whole idea. I met with a graphics guy. We came up with this graphic. He did. I just told him the idea. I gave him I had notes. I've been working on this for a year. I knew where I was going. I knew how I wanted to get there. And I knew the first message was going to be about all in. The first message was just going to be this charge, this challenge, this let's take the hill. Everybody was going to get a poker chip that has our City View logo on one side, the graphic of the series on another, something that we could keep in our pocket going, am I all in when it comes to living my life for Christ? That was my idea. We gave the graphic to the company who makes the chips. We gave that to them. They call Tony on Tuesday. They said, hey, so we no longer carry the 8-stripe chip. We carry the 6-stripe chip. Do you care? And Tony's like, no, we just need it by Friday. We need it Friday. He goes, oh, yeah, that's not a problem. Friday, around 2 o'clock, I'm in the middle of helping my son. I'm doing his math class. We homeschool and teaching him math, and that's fun too. And I get a text from Tony that says, your chips won't be in until Monday. And I go, well, what am I supposed to do? He goes, I don't know. Because my entire message revolves around this application that I want everybody to have in their hand, which you're going to have to come next week to get it, next week to see the whole idea, this message that I had to say, it's on hold till next week. So I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Write an entire new message? So I'm frustrated. I'm trying not to be mad at Tony because it's not Tony's fault. I'm not mad at FedEx because they have no power. They're just driving their truck. I swear they're driving it from Ohio or wherever we ordered them from. I'm like, are you driving the chips to us? Put them on a flipping plane. Get them here. One plane from wherever they're coming from to my house. Land it in my street. So I'm mad at the chip company. I'm telling Tony, I said, I don't want to pay for these. That's like how I was mad. And I'm working through it. I called Jared later on. He goes, you don't sound too mad. I'm like, well, I've worked through it for like 3 hours. And Laramie goes, maybe you should teach on like how life doesn't always go your way. I talked to my father-in-law later on that night. And he goes, maybe you should use what you're going through in life for your message. So that's what I did. Started really thinking, you know, because life doesn't always go our way.
My day was almost ruined, but God really changed that. But isn't that the truth, that life doesn't always go our way? So how can we live all in life when things don't go as planned? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for this day. God, I thank you, God, that you have a plan, that you want to use us, that you want to use all the messes and the things, that the mistakes, the whatever is going on, Lord, you want to use those things for your glory. God, I ask that this morning you'd speak to each and every one of our hearts, Lord, wherever we are, no matter what we bring to the table, God. Lord, I ask, God, that we would trust you. Lord, that we'd be willing to go all in with our life. And Lord, not just us at City View. Lord, but I pray that churches throughout the valley, Lord, whether it's Calvary Community, Desert Breeze, Lord, Gateway, Hillsong, Lord, Redemption, Valley Life, Lord, wherever people, your people are going to church today, Lord, I pray that we would make a decision to get off our butts and to go all in with our life. Lord, that we would go all in with what you have given us. That we would trust you. And Lord, I pray that this morning at City View, Lord, that we would trust you and that we would go all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are joining us online, welcome. I'd like to say good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is for you, but hello to you. So in the Bible, there's this character. His name is a young man. His name is Mephibosheth. When my wife and I were having kids, it was one of the names that I always teased, saying, hey, we should name our son Mephibosheth, whenever we had one. I never won. We have a Judah, we have a Joel, we have an Ezra, and nobody's name is Mephibosheth. Nowhere in it. I don't even know what you'd call him as a nickname. Shebby? Phibby? You can't call him Miff. I don't know what you would call him, but I always said that. And so there's this young man, his name is Mephibosheth, and he was the son of Jonathan. Jonathan in the Bible, Jonathan's dad was Saul. He was the first king of the people of Israel. So Jonathan was going to be the next king when his dad passed the kingdom over to him. And so you have Jonathan, and Jonathan had the son named Mephibosheth. And so you know Mephibosheth was the guy that Jonathan would say, son, you're going to be great one day. And I tell my sons and I pray for my sons that they would be great one day. That they would do extraordinary things someday. That they would be culture changers, that they would be world changers, not just normal people that sit. And I'm not saying that I want them to be some president or something, but that whatever life or whatever decisions they make and the job that they have, that they would live a life that changes the world each and every day, because one life change changes the world. And so I know Jonathan, being a good dad, would say to his son, Mephibosheth, you are going to change the world someday. Mephibosheth, you are going to be great someday. And I'm sure that Mephibosheth would smile when his dad would say such a thing. But in one day, in one moment, everything changed. You see, his father and his grandfather were out to battle. They were fighting the Philistines. And in that single battle, he lost his grandfather and his dad in a moment. In one moment. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, if you want to turn there with me, 2 Samuel 4, verse 4, it's going to be up here. If you have the YouVersion Bible app, you can go there as well, and you can follow along with all of our passages there. But in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, it says this: Saul's son Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth. He was crippled as a child. He was 5 years old when the report came to Jezreel that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle. And when the child's nurse had heard the news, she picked him up and she fled. But as she hurried away, she dropped him and he became crippled. From that day forward, everything changed for him. He was royalty one moment, and the next moment he lived in constant fear, wondering, is there anybody going to try to kill me because they know that I could be the next king? He probably felt like he was less of a person. He could no longer do what all the other kids could do. Everything he did, he had to depend on somebody else. He had the reputation of a cripple. That's who he was. That was what titled him. And if you guys think about this, you think about what it would be like a cripple in those days. We're not talking about somebody who can't walk today. there's so many things that are given to people now. They have wheelchairs, there's crutches, there's different things. You got to understand, a person in that day would have to be carried. We're talking 1000 BC. So everything, anything Mephibosheth wanted to do, somebody had to carry him. He had to humble himself saying, hey, would somebody help me go to the restroom? Hey, would somebody help me go to the table? Hey, would somebody help me go outside? Hey, would somebody take me here? And it wasn't a matter of him crawling. It was a matter of somebody coming and picking him up and taking him. From that day on, he was known as the cripple Mephibosheth. And he probably felt, what do I do? What do I have to offer anybody? He probably felt like he was a constant burden. Have you ever felt like that with your life? Always needing help. And I'm sure there are many thoughts that crossed his mind. Things like, this isn't fair. I don't deserve this. What did I do for this to happen to me? You see, we can all look at our past and think, what did I do to deserve this? We can all look at our lives thinking, who am I and why does this have to happen to me? We can look at our lives and we can live with the regrets of our past and let them hold us down, let them beat us down. Or we can say, but is there more for me? You see, then one day, somewhere in his mid-20s, he got a knock on his door. He couldn't answer it because he's laying in a bed somewhere, sitting in a chair, unable to walk to the door. You see, we don't know what's happening behind the scenes of our life. All we see is what's in front of us. All we see is the hand that we've been dealt. You see, for Mephibosheth, he had been dealt a 2 and a 7. In the game of Texas Hold'em, the worst hand you could possibly be dealt is a 2 and a 7. Because there's no hope of getting a straight with the 2 cards in front of you. You have the lowest card possible. If it was a 2, and you're like, well, what about a 2 and a 3? Well, 2 and a 3, you have a hope of a straight. So you can't get 5 with the 2 and a 7. 7 is 2 cards away if you had an ace. And he looks at his life going, what do I have to offer anybody? What is my life? You see, so many times we can get so wrapped up in what's in front of us that we don't realize that God is orchestrating this plan, that God has so many things that he is doing behind the scenes. And many times we can only see what we can see in front of us, but we do not see what God is doing behind us. Many times we can only see what we can't, and we don't realize what God is doing. So his servant goes to the door and he answers it. So here's what's going on now. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. It says, one day David asked, is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? You see, for each and every one of our lives, there is that one day. There's that one day where we get that text. There's that one day when we get that phone call. There's that one day when somebody finally says hello. There's that one day when we get that smile. There's that one day, and we're never expecting the day, but there's that one day, and in that one day, there's that grace that God offers. And it was in this one day, this one moment, that all of a sudden, for some reason, God brings something to David's mind. You see, we all have those one days where all of a sudden hope is given. The other day, you know, my kids, we homeschool, and for some of my kids, school is harder than others, and I get it. School is tough for me. My wife and I were sitting on the couch, and we're watching. Our kids are chilling in front of us, and one of our kids is reading on his own. You may think, what's the big deal about that? Well, if you knew the struggle reading was, you would understand that one day. That was an amazing thing. You see, God has those one days planned. Are we willing to wait expectantly for that one day? So David says, one day. One day David asked, is there anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness? I can show grace is the idea of that word for Jonathan's sake. He summoned a man named Ziba who had been one of Saul's servants. Are you Ziba? He said. Yes, I am. The king asked, is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show God's kindness, God's grace to them. And Ziba replied, yes, Jonathan's son, who is still alive, he is a cripple. Look at how he's defined even by a man who does not hang with him. He says, yes, he has a son. He's the cripple in both feet. Where is he? David asked. He's in Lodabar. I swear, it sounds like somewhere in like Star Wars. He's in Lodabar, and Ziba told him, at the home of Maker, son of Amiel. So David sent for him, and he brought him from Maker to his home. See, David, many years before, Mephibosheth probably had no idea this decision was made. David, who was best friends with Jonathan, Mephibosheth's dad, they made this promise. Then if anything were ever to happen to Jonathan, that David would care for his family. David made a promise to a man who did not have this son Mephibosheth yet. And so he remembered that promise. And for some reason, on this specific day, it was brought to mind. And that's how God works to you. You see, God's grace is like that. It may seem random to you, but it's planned by God. That's how God's grace is. That's how God's grace is. He knows when he's going to. He offers it every day. And there's moments where all of a sudden his grace seems to overflow. And you're like, God, why now? And it's because I planned it for today. Because today is the one day that you need more. Because doesn't it feel like there are some days where it feels like his grace flows over us like we could never and never ever planned on? There's those days that grace seems, it's more than we've ever experienced in our lives. And we're like, God, why today? He goes, because today is your one day. And now the thing is, God doesn't just give us one day. It's days upon days upon days. His grace, it flows. It's constantly going. But for many of us, we only wait and receive it in moments because we get bogged down with life. And we get distracted with the hands that we've been dealt, thinking, who am I and what do I have to offer? So imagine that knock on that door. Mephibosheth goes, hey, will somebody go get that? See, the king, when he sends somebody to go on an errand for him, it was never just one random guy that would walk and some weaselly little kid that runs and says, hey, King David needs you at his house. Bye. You know, I send my kids to my neighbor's house, say, hey, go over there. Kings don't do that. Kings send entourages, okay? I remember one day my wife and I, it's like 5 a.m, and we get this knock on our door. And I open my door, and it's this skinny older gentleman wearing this nasty fake leather brown jacket, smoking a cigarette, and he goes, are you Jeremiah? I'm like, who are you, and are you going to kill me right now? That's really my thought. Like, it's 5 a.m, it's the weirdest thing, and he hands me this envelope. He goes, you're being served with papers. What? For what? A car accident that I got in almost 2 years before that day. You see, they have 2 years to file a lawsuit and all that, blah, 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 blah. It wasn't that kind of knock. It's an entourage of royal officials. David would have sent this royal people, and all of a sudden, the servant who came to the door for Mephibosheth, he opens the door, and the person that was sent by David says, I need to speak to Mephibosheth. He goes, okay, but he can't come to the door right now. He goes, well, I have a message from the king, and it's for Mephibosheth. I need to speak to him now. Well, he can't come to the door right now. Well, he needs to come to the door. He's crippled. I don't care. I have a message for him from the king. So all of a sudden, somebody would have to go and pick up Mephibosheth because the guy probably would have been, well, why don't you come on inside? You got to understand, this is royalty. Would he just come into some poor person's home? Probably not. So all of a sudden, one of the servants comes and picks up Mephibosheth, and he takes them there, and I don't know if they have a chair set up, and Mephibosheth says, I am Mephibosheth. Can you imagine how humiliating he would have felt in front of royalty, in front of people who are dressed so nice and so eloquent, and they looked so professional, and he's there in his dirty clothes with his mangled up feet going, I am Mephibosheth. And he says, the king requests your appearance in the palace. Why? You have to come. That's my message. We will take you there. So all of a sudden, Mephibosheth, he can't go and start packing his bags because he can't walk. So he's got to depend on other people packing his bags. He got to depend on other people doing all this stuff for him. He's got to depend on other people carrying him everywhere he went because he cannot walk. And then he starts traveling there. Can you imagine the fears that were in his mind? He knew who his grandfather was. My grandfather hated David. Does David want to kill me? How long has he been hunting for me? What do I even have to offer him? He's looking at his life going, I have nothing to offer a king. Sometimes in our life, we look and going, I've been given nothing. And we may have nothing. But when we are willing to lay down our nothing, we're able to see what God has for us. You see, in the game Texas Hold'em, there's this point in the game once everybody's been given their two cards, there's this moment called the flop. And in that moment, the first three cards get lied down, and all of a sudden, Mephibosheth sees that there's hope. He says, wait a minute, there's a four, a five, and a three in spades. I might get a straight. And so it says, verse 6 says, so his name was Mephibosheth, and he was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. And when he came to David, he bowed low to the ground in deep respect. And David, greeting Mephibosheth, replied, I am your servant. Do you understand how difficult that would have been for Mephibosheth to bow? He would have had to ask somebody to pick him up, to put him on the ground, that he might bow. Some of us, we can understand this. Can you imagine humbling yourself? Maybe some of us are older, and we understand, if I go on my knees, I don't know if I'm going to get up. And if I'm laying flat on my face, there's no way I'm getting up unless somebody helps me. Mephibosheth, he knew what he was doing when he laid down. He was giving it all away. He's saying, I'm all in. Whatever you want to do, I'm all in. David needs to see me, I'm all in. He puts it all in. He's like, okay, I'm all in. Here you go. You see, in the game of any poker game, there's a moment where you fully believe in what you have. You fully believe in the cards that you've been dealt, and you go, you know what? I know I can win this, and I know I can win it all. I'm all in. You put all your chips on the table. You're all in. You're trusting. But can you be all in when it doesn't make sense? Can you be all in with your life when you look going, there's no possible way I can win. There's no possible way this can work for my advantage. There's no possible way. But you see, when you trust in the grace of God and you believe that God does amazing things, can you go all in? You see, Mephibosheth said, I'm all in. I don't know what this is going to look like. I don't know if I'm going to lose my life, but I'm all in. And David says, don't be afraid. I intend to show kindness to you because of my promise to your father. Jonathan, I will give you all the property that once belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will eat here at my table, the king's table. Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and explained, who is your servant that you should show such kindness to a dead dog like me? You see, he had to lay it all down because he knew he had nothing. It was in that moment of humility that he was able to see what was offered. He was willing to go all in, even with the little bit that he had. He could have folded. He could have said, yeah, I'll follow you there. And he could have gotten on his cart and had said, okay, we're going to go that way. And so many of us, we look at our life going, you know, I don't have much. I'm coming to the end of my life. I'm just going to chill and coast for the rest of my life. God doesn't call anybody to coast with life. Doesn't call anybody to say, hey, you know what? You've been used. Yeah, you know what? The things that you've done in your past, that's made you unusable. I can't use you anymore because of who you are and what you've done. Nobody. God didn't say that to David, who murdered a guy and slept with another man's wife. God uses broken people. That's who God uses. Because of his grace. And David says, the reason why I'm offering this to you is because of the promise that I made to your father. The reason God can give grace to us is because of the promise he made to Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for all mankind that we might receive forgiveness and that we might have grace. So just like Mephibosheth, we come going, I've got nothing. You see, God wants us to trust him too. So it was at that moment as David, he comes before David and he says, David, and David says, greetings, don't fear. And all of a sudden the flop starts happening. The flop goes and he's like, hey, I could go. And then there's that 10, like, okay, what's going to happen? That doesn't help me. And David says, not only do I want to give you back all the land, he flops the ace. He says, I want you at my table every meal. I'm going to give you the place where you should be as a son of the king. You don't deserve it. You will not look normal at my table because somebody will have to carry you every single day to my table. But I don't care what you look like. I don't care what people say. You belong at my table. And the same thing that David said to Mephibosheth, God says to you today, because of what my son has done for you, you belong at my table. No matter how broken, no matter how hurt, no matter how messed up your past is, no matter what's going on, no matter the hand that looks so sloppy, I have given you it all so that you can come and belong at my table. And God says, but do you just trust me? All you have to do is come. It says, then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba, and he says, I have given your master's grandson everything. You and your sons take care of the land, but Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, will eat at my table. And Ziba said, yes, Lord, I will do it. And it says in verse 12, and Mephibosheth had a son named Micah. From then on, all the members of his household were Mephibosheth's servants. And Mephibosheth, who was crippled in both feet, lived in Jerusalem at a table and ate regularly at the king's table. Worship team, you can come on. Or Scott, you can come on up. He came with nothing, but was given much. He gave nothing, but everything was given to him. When we trust God with our lives, God does the same. We don't know God's flop. We don't know the hand that God has, but God does. God has set you up for victory. He has set you up to be triumphant. He has set you up to be overcomers. He says it throughout his word. He says it throughout scripture. That's why Jesus didn't just die on a cross, but that's why he rose again, that we might live victorious, triumphant lives. You may say, I've got nothing to offer. God says, I've got a life planned out for you. Will you just trust me with what I have? So I ask you this morning, even though you may feel broken, even though you may feel like you have nothing to offer, will you go all in with God? You see, God makes beautiful things out of broken pieces. That's what he does. He doesn't look for somebody who's got it all fixed up. He doesn't look going, okay, well, God, let me fold this hand. Let me try to see if I can get an ace or a jack, maybe even a 10, God, just something higher so I can offer you more. God says, give me your nothing so that I can do everything. That's what God wants. Because God uses broken things to make things beautiful. That's what he's famous for. And that's what he wants to do with you. Will you trust him and go all in?
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.